have been fleshed out to a fairly good degree. It was never voted on and approved, for that matter. But certainly, there's a good foundation to continue talks. And I think, you know, part of Joel's legal opinion as well is key to this. Certainly ties into the financial responsibilities of the agency, what we're required to do or not do, and then perhaps, you know, what the powers of the board are, so to speak, with regard to designating who pays for what. So I will point out one thing. I think, Joel, in answer to your question, I think that's fine for now.
Okay. Happy to elaborate.
Yeah, these are some discussions that are going to take some time to fetter out. You know, obviously, there's a couple of different facets to diesel protocol. One original facet was, how do you manage diesel between the two interconnected communities to the north? That's one diesel protocol. The other diesel protocol is, what's SEPA's involvement with how people burn diesel within the system? What is, you know, we don't have a responsibility to tell people when to burn. I don't have the authorization to tell somebody we're going to pay for your diesel. I provided that right here. So when people are asking me directly, I need a memo from you saying you're going to pay for something, I've been instructed I can't say that. So there's got to be some reasonableness here for expectations. And I understand some of these things are done for politics. We try to focus on the operational end of things. I mean, if you have 5 feet left in your reservoir and you're drafting at a foot a day, and you don't want to run out of water, and you want to do a preemptive burn to do that, I'm not sure that that takes me to tell you that, other than from a political perspective. So we need to make some decisions at some point in time, so staff has clear direction and authorization if we're going to be expected to do that. I'd also caution the board, when you start looking at diesel protocol and who's going to pay for what, Jeremy brought it up, but I was also going to bring it up. If you're going to pay for diesel in one instance, then these other ones, if you under-deliver or over-deliver, be very careful there. You will bankrupt this organization, and rather quickly. You have to be very careful there. It's a risk balancing act that we do every day, trying to manage these resources for optimization for everybody. We're not trying to run somebody short intentionally. We're trying to optimize this. This is what we do. We do this every day, and a lot of times at night and on the weekends. To insinuate that our folks are intentionally doing stuff to run people short and things like that, that it couldn't be further from the truth. So as we enter into the discussion who's paying for what, and just a reminder, we're not going to make any decisions here, but I was requested to put together some options. And if most of you have read Dave Carlson's memo, I took the approach on my options that I think it would be well advised that we try to keep any type of diesel reimbursement as simple as possible. You know, if we start getting to, I'll say, the nuances of administrative costs and some of those other elements, that gets a little complicated. And so for the purposes of today's discussion and to provide to get the board thinking about potential options and how we might apply some diesel reimbursement, I've made up a PowerPoint presentation, and I believe you have a copy in your packets as well. So I'll run through this, and it gets a little wordy, because there's some, you know, there's some detail to it. It's not super simple. And at the end of your handout, I put together a little metrics too there that you can just kind of get a quick look and how that's presented. But I'll run through this page by page, and I'll go through and kind of set a framework for my thoughts, and then I'll present some options to go with her. So with regard to the framework, and I'm just going to talk specifically about this year, because I think it's the thing that we're dealing with right now. Maybe this gets broader in scope or handles things in a different way down the line, but for the purposes of today's discussion, I've focused on the North having to burn diesel and how we might address that. So just a few observations to start with in the framework. Regardless of the nuances of the timing of when the curtailments happens, these other little nuances that people have been going back and forth on leading up to where we're at today, regardless of all that, the sales out of Tyee to KPU, all of those energy sales directly displaced KPU diesel. I hope we can at least, you know, agree on that simple premise. The amount of Tyee energy sold to KPU for the period of January 1, 2018 through the end of the year was 32,162 megawatt hours. The net benefit to KPU based on fuel cost of 18 cents was $3,602,032. Note, for simplicity purposes, I haven't added any additional avoided KPU costs associated with O&M, such as when they burn their diesels, they would also incur overtime, similar to what the North is doing currently. So if you turn to the next page, I've given a graphical depiction of this for people that maybe see things in a little different way. The bar graph on the left, you want to advance, oh, I got that, sorry, there we go. That just shows how many megawatt hours it were. And the bar graph on the right shows the equivalent in dollars. And so the bar graph on the right, the lower blue section is the price paid for Hydra that was sold out of Tyee. And then the stack on the top is essentially KPU's avoided diesel cost by purchasing that power, which comes out to about 11.2 cents if you subtract 6.8 from 18. So those are just some real basic numbers there. You know what? We've talked about that we've essentially sold about $7.5 million worth of diesel equivalent out of Tyee to the south. And the way we come up with that number is we use essentially the loaded cost of diesel, which we've used the number 24 cents for KPU for several years. And that would be 24 cents times the 32,000 megawatt hours. That's where that number came. So if you've heard that number, I just wanted to demonstrate that's where that number came from. So continuing with the framework for the discussion, supplemental diesel being burned by Petersburg and Wrangell, excluding diesel required for peaking and spinning reserves, which is just a little bit. There were just a couple of days where we had to make sure we had the necessary spinning reserve and also could cover some peaks due to cold weather. That supplemental diesel is a direct result of the energy sales out of Tyee to KPU. The overtime incurred by Petersburg and Wrangell directly related to supplemental diesel operations is a direct result of energy sales at the time. 2 KP. So with regard to some core questions, I've tried to keep this really simple, high level. And so number one is, what costs should be eligible for reimbursement for Petersburg and Wrangell? And in my options, if you've had a chance to peruse those at all, I've essentially used the cost of diesel fuel and overtime. And on item number two, I've asked the question, should we account for differences in the base cost of diesel across the three communities? And I give some examples in here, I'll get to it. And then the final question on who pays for eligible costs. Everybody with me so far? Okay. So, potential options for diesel reimbursement. I've listed five of them. There's a lot more. Just depends on how you want to slice the pie and how you want to approach it. Like I say, I've tried to keep this as simple as possible. And I will say from the onset that I believe the northern communities should be reimbursed for their cost. I've made the comment in the past where if the north ends up burning a little bit of diesel and the south has to pay that back, that means that we maximized our resource. That means that KPU got as much additional dedicated as they possibly could, and that means we kept the north whole. That's really our whole objective, right? To maximize additional sales and make sure people's dedicated power needs are met. The hang up here is, you know, who pays for that? And so I've laid out some options here, and I just laid these options out. None of them are right or wrong, because they're all options. And so number one is Petersburg and Wrangell pay for their own diesel and operational costs. SEPA, as far as the PSA goes, we don't have an obligation to cover diesel costs. So that's one option. Number two, KPU reimburses Petersburg and Wrangell for cost of their supplemental diesel and overtime, minus 6.8 cents a kilowatt hour, because the north would have paid that to begin with. And number three, is SEPA reimburses Petersburg and Wrangell for the cost of their supplemental diesel and overtime, minus the 6.8 cents. So Petersburg pays for their own, Ketchikan picks up the full cost, or SEPA picks up the full cost. That's the first three. Frankly, I think all three of those are flawed to a degree. So on to item number four. KPU reimburses Petersburg and Wrangell for their supplemental diesel fuel up to the equivalent of KPU's own fuel costs. And I give an example here. 18 cents for their fuel costs, minus the 6.8 cents per kilowatt hour, and reimburses Petersburg and Wrangell for their overtime to operate. And SEPA pays the difference between the cost of diesel if Petersburg and Wrangell diesel costs are higher than KPU. And I give a simple example. If KPU is 18 cents and Petersburg and Wrangell are 20 cents, then SEPA would potentially pick up that 2 cent difference. We don't want to overcharge KPU, and that would still keep the north whole. And I, frankly, I think that's one of the most fairest of them all. And then number five is KPU reimburses Petersburg and Wrangell for the cost of their supplemental diesel fuel up to the equivalent of KPU's own fuel costs, 18 cents, used as an example, minus the 6.8 cents and SEPA pays the difference between the cost of diesel, if Petersburg diesel costs are higher, same example provided. SEPA pays the difference. And then I've also, the difference on this one is SEPA pays for the overtime cost for Petersburg and Wrangell. So those are five options that I've just put out there for discussion purposes. And hopefully that helps get the conversation going a little bit. And recognize that we do have a executive session carved out for, I'll say, some deeper discussions on that from a financial perspective, if we wanted to do that. And then, of course, the last page is just the metrics that essentially just summarizes that in a table. Any thoughts or questions or?
How do you want to handle the discussion? Go ahead, Steve.
I'm looking down at Carl. I'm looking down at the Ketchikan contingent because I would really like to hear from them and their perspective on this. Are you going to give us a credit card for this?
That's your library card, Carl.
I'm surprised you don't have air miles.
I do have one comment, and I'll reserve the rest of it.
Carl, would you mind?
Sorry, I do have one comment. I'll reserve the rest for executive session. In fact, I'm going to defer comment and reserve all my comments to executive session.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'd like to say is thank you, Trey, for putting this together. I really appreciate it, and I think there's some good options for us to look at. I do want to hear from Ketchikan and understand their perspective on this, because this, you know, it has an impact to us, but it also has an impact to them. So as well, I'll be interested, you know, Petersburg's side of things as well.
Mr. Chair, I also would like to hear from Ketchikan, see what they have to say here later on. I'm hoping that we have a chance to digest this and study it before we're ready to jump into a decision. Maybe that's for the next board meeting. Because I'm not, my stomach hasn't digested it all yet, so to speak. And with that, I'll quit.
Anybody else? So we added in the agenda an item. We also have, we're going to use the 11A executive session to talk about this issue. Is that correct, Trey?
Yes, sir.
So if there, I know there's a lot of business beforehand, but I think that given the time of day, I would soon get through this one first.
I agree, Mr. Chair.
So if there's no objection, I will move new business item 11A to the next order of business. I have a motion.
I move to move item 11A up in the agenda to the next order of business.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Amelon?
Yes.
Siebertson?
Yes.
Skillings?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Thank you.
Having moved that forward, let that read in the agenda. We have an executive session, page 48.
Yep, there's a motion.
There's a motion.
And it does include the financial discussion in there as well.
It does.
Perfect. And it also, okay, good.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I move to recess into executive session to be conducted pursuant to SEPA's bylaws consistent with the Alaska Statute 44.62.310 for discussions on the financial impacts of reservoir management and the potential acquisition of property, which is a matter of imminent knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the agency, the projects, or any of the member utilities represented on the board.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Price Sunka.
Yes.
Amelon.
Yes.
Severson.
Yep.
Skilling.
Yes.
Lynn.
Yes.
Thank you.
So at this time, we will recess into executive session. We'll probably take a couple minutes break before we start that.